Welcome to Fox Valley Church. My name is John Sitzler. I'm the lead pastor. I'm excited that you decided to listen to this message. Isaiah 61 states that we can be like great oak trees planted by the Lord. That's our goal for you. Yes, you. So as you listen to this message, be ready for what God wants to bring to your attention. I believe that you're going to encounter God as you listen. I really do. Are you ready? Let's discover what God has planned.
Whenever I get up on the platform, I always pray and thank God that I got up here without falling down. And some of you are old enough to understand that absolutely. Okay. I'm going to share several things, and some of them will probably be things you've heard from other sermons on this subject. So I'm not going to expand on everything. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will apply it, move on it, and help us to do it. My theme this morning is react or respond. React or respond. The dictionary actually treats reacting and responding as kind of the same thing. If you look there, it kind of have the same kind of explanation for it. But I think they're quite different, really. I think that reacting is more impulsive. It's like making an impulsive purchase and then the next day saying, why in the world did I do that? Good thing Amazon can take things back and all of that. Because reacting is mostly an emotional thing. We respond out of our emotions, like, for instance, anger. Have you ever seen someone, actually I've done it as a young man, slam their fist into the wall because they were so upset and angry they didn't know what to do? And usually those kind of responses have what? Bad consequences. Ah, why did I do that? That's reacting. I think response is not only a reaction, but is also a more thoughtful reaction. It's a more considerate reaction. It's based on thinking about, is this something God wants me to do? Is this the way I should behave? Is this what God will be pleased with? Is this consistent with my faith? Is this even biblically sound? Is this the wisest thing I should do at this point in my life? That's responding. I'll illustrate the difference. When I was pastoring in Mayville in the mid-70s, a tornado hit Mayville. And the church was hit. We lived in the parsonage right next door to the church. The church was hit. And half of the roof was blown off, and most of that debris hit the parsonage. That the windows up on the right in the parsonage were the windows to our living room, and down below those two windows, that was windows to our daughter's bedroom down in the lower level. Now, you can see the windows in the living room are absolutely blown out by the debris that came across from the tornado, and glass just exploded. Fortunately, I had too many things in my garage, and my car was parked in front of those windows. And so the car took the brunt, and the kids did not have any debris go through their window. When that hit, Dee and I both ran downstairs. That was our reaction, ran downstairs to the kids. Now, fortunately, we stopped before, in time for the glass that came flying through the hallway to not hit us. My wife dashed after it was quieted down, dashed into the bedroom, and she didn't have any shoes on, and The whole floor was littered with broken glass from the windows. And she never got a scratch. Well, that was a reaction. However, later on, we were vacationing in Banff, Canada. And you'll see a slide of us at this mountain that we could climb up about halfway. Was an easy climb. And so we're up there, and all of a sudden I hear my daughter saying, "Dad, Dad." And I looked around, and she's on this little flat surface that's kind of tilted like that, that going off to a drop-off, and she's sliding. She's all spread out, but she's sliding towards that surface. Now my reaction was, run down and grab her. You know what would happen if I did that? Both of us would have gone off this edge. So I stopped, I prayed, I looked and see where was the safest place for me to walk down and get her, and I was able to grab her hand and pull her back up. That was a response. So I want to talk about responding, I think, in the way God wants us to respond. First of all, respond to the words of Jesus. And I put in my notes once again, because we've all probably responded to the words of Jesus, but that's not a one-time process, you understand. I need to be open to respond to the words of Jesus all the time, every day of my life. There are some emergency people that are called first responders, and they are the ones that run to a danger instead of running away from it. That's illustrated by 9/11, where we see people running away from the disaster and the first responders going right into the rubble to save. That's what they were trained to do. Well, I think Jesus has a first responder thing for us as well. First of all, first response, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest," Matthew 11:28. Come is the first thing that Jesus says to us. That's the first response to his words, come. When I think of that, I think of when I go see my great-grandsons, they come running to me, and sometimes they almost knock me down, but anyway, they come running to me because they know I'm going to welcome them and grab them and hug them. Jesus is saying, come to me. If you're hurting, if you're broken, if you're discouraged with life, if you're sick of the way you're doing stuff, if you're sick of mistakes you're making, if you're sick of the emptiness you feel, if you're sick of being broken, come on, come on. And he says something additionally that is just as important. In Matthew, talking about the disciple Matthew, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. It's not just enough to come. Jesus says, "I want you to follow." Yeah. Being a follower of Jesus Christ then is an ongoing relationship where I continue to walk day by day, asking Jesus to help me walk as his disciple, to live as his disciple, to be genuinely his disciple. That means I am making different choices. That means I am thinking, okay, what would Jesus do right here? I want to follow him. I want to follow him. So it's not enough just to come running to him. Some people have made these decisions at different meetings and so forth, and they never follow. Jesus said, not only come, but follow me. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, after you've decided and you become a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus has some more words for you. In John 13, verses 34 through 35, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." May I suggest something? One of the reasons why some of the world is not yet saved is because we have failed to demonstrate our love for each other to the world. Notice he says, do that to the world. It's all right in here, it's easy. It's easy to love each other in here because you haven't ticked me off yet. You haven't said something I don't like yet. But when I get out there and we start working together and ministering together before the world, that's where it counts. That's how the world knows that we're a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just the emotion of love, you understand? Not just the feeling of love, but the love like God has for us. That love, that's incredible. It stretches us. How can I love that person like you love them, God? How can I do that? That will be a lifelong process for you. But it is what demonstrates the reality of us being disciples. He went on to say something else that's kind of tough. In Matthew 5:44, "But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." He doesn't want us just to love each other. He wants us to love our enemies, those who are actually pushing against us, those who are actually ridiculing us. I'd like to suggest to you that who you are not praying for is probably the ones you should be praying for. I hope you're praying for President Biden, even if you don't like him. I hope you're praying for Governor Evers, even though you don't like him, maybe. Pray, even if you think someone's an enemy, pray for them. Love them. Ask God for his love. It's easy to put and complain about people you don't like and the people you consider your enemies, but have you asked God to give you supernatural love for them? That's a challenge. Another verse that we've shared before that Jesus talks about in Matthew 28:19 through 20, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We're not just to make converts, you understand. It says make disciples. We've talked about this, or some others have talked about this, but the emphasis here is making of disciples. Just because you witness to somebody, that doesn't stop it. You want to see them become a fully grown up follower, and that's going to take some time and interaction. I'm not going to, like I said, that's been preached on before. I'm not going to talk about one of the things Jesus tells us to do is go. I think it's so exciting that there are different communities of faith and different ethnicities that are coming to our church and wanting to worship in our building. It's the world coming to us. Isn't that interesting? The next thing Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, and some of you know the verse well, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This talks about focus. You see, what we focus on determines several things. It determines, for instance, our attitude and our gratitude. Focus will eventually determine the quality of your life. What are you focusing on? What are you paying attention to? What are you listening for? What are you listening to? What's your focus in life? Where do you think you're heading? Where do you want to head? Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And your focus will be right. You focus on the things that God wants you to focus on and pursue. Then another thing Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Recent studies say that the average American Christian prays 5 minutes or fewer a day. The average American Christian. Less than 5 minutes a day. Notice it didn't say, if you pray, do this. It says, when you pray. Because Jesus assumes if you're following him, you're going to pray. Now, I need to tell you that the disciples were not praying. They were Jews. They had a set way that they prayed all the time, every day. So they were praying, but they watched Jesus, and they then come to him and said, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? They saw something different in the way Jesus prayed than the way they were praying or their rabbis were praying. And they wanted to figure out, what is that? Why is your prayers so different than ours? You're saying some of the same things, probably. What's the difference? I think that might be something we might be able to ask Jesus too. Jesus, can you teach us to pray? Well, not just, you know, the words to say, but how to pray. How can I pray? I may have a suggestion. I think you should take some time and study the prayers of Jesus. What did he pray about? What was most on his mind? What was most in his heart? What did he pray about? Think about that as you pray. There are some benefits. I'd like to just mention a few benefits of prayer. It certainly is not an exhaustive list, but I want to go through a few things that happens when you decide to pray and ask Jesus help in that. Prayer prepares us for life. One of my granddaughters has this saying she says quite often, adulting is hard. We need God's partnership in our lives as we live and we adult. So prayer prepares us for life. Prayer helps us to be an overcomer. It's the avenue for us rising above the things that used to hold us back. It's the avenue through which we find ourselves in the freedom of God to act differently and not be bound by something that has kept us down and defeated. Prayer equips us to minister effectively. God has you ministering to somebody, then the way you pray, your preparation in prayer is absolutely essential, so that you can pray effectively, so that you can minister effectively with the authority and the power of Jesus Christ and the understanding of Jesus Christ as you minister to someone. Because sometimes what I want to say to someone is not something that Jesus wants to say to someone. You understand that? Have you ever had that situation where you said something later on, you said, I don't think that was what Jesus wanted me to say. So prayer helps me to say the things that Jesus wants me to say. Prayer transforms our attitudes. It's hard to be grumpy when you're praying to Jesus. You know that? It's hard to complain. Prayer also makes us less self-centered and more Jesus-centered. It's essential. It keeps us focused on the person of Jesus Christ as we become to know him better. Prayer gives power and encouragement to our pastors and leaders. I hope that you are praying for the pastors of this church and the leaders in our country and in our city. Because that prayer will enable them to make better decisions, walk in a better light, and be encouraged because, for instance, pastoring is not an easy profession. It doesn't pay a whole lot. And yet, those underpaid people get a lot of criticism. Pray for them. It'll change your attitude and it'll help them as well. And finally, prayer for others softens their heart towards the gospel. Because you're praying for someone will soften their heart so that you can perhaps share the gospel with them or someone can share the gospel with them. And one final word from Jesus for the followers, and that is Matthew 24:41, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. I am convinced with the things that are going on in our world that we are hastening toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. We have this new thing in that's becoming more and more to the front. It's called globalization, which they're trying to make sure that all of economy, everything is under the umbrella of the worldwide network. Does that sound similar to the one world kingdom that was prophesied? And eventually the one world ruler. Okay, that's two last things I want to share with you, because it's not only enough to respond to Jesus' words. We need to respond to Jesus' heart. We can memorize and quote what Jesus says and still have not a really intimate relationship with him. We can try to do what he said, but live in our own strength and become judgmental towards others. We need to allow the heart of Christ to touch our hearts. John 17:20-22 reveals his heart. I am not praying only on their behalf, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their testimony, that they will all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. I pray that they will be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. The glory you gave to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. One. We need to be one in the body of Christ. I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of the things that is probably the most detrimental to the worldview of Christianity is the infighting that happens in the Christian world. When you, in front of the world, put down another denomination and other Christians, you are demonstrating to the world that we are not one at all. We're as divided as our nation is. That's why it's important you pray for each other. And Jesus' prayer in his heart was, God, so the world understands, let them be one as we are one. That's something to pray for. That's something to seek God for. And then in Luke 19:41, now when Jesus approached and saw the city, he wept over it. If you know the situation, he wept because he wanted them to come to him and they wouldn't. And he wept. Someone has observed that the American Christian is probably mostly a dried-eyed group of people. I ask myself, when was the last time I wept over someone who was lost and wouldn't come to Jesus? Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they had rejected God's message. Jesus' heart is broken when people don't come to him, and it should break our hearts as well. On another note, an internationally known and respected theologian has had conversations with some of the most influential atheists in the world. He discovered something happening very interesting. He said that a number of the most intelligent and well-known atheists have confessed that Christianity has the best answer as to why we are here. Some have said they have either converted to Christianity or are thinking about doing so. He thinks this shows a tide changing from against Christianity towards Christianity. So if there is a tide of awakening in our world happening, are we prepared to help those God is trying to reveal himself to come and become fully followers of Jesus Christ? Are we ready for that? We need to be. Amen. I believe God is going to give opportunities beyond everything we ever thought about so far to be able to help people come to know Jesus Christ. We need to be ready for that. And one more thought. Scientists have conducted an experiment to explore what happens in our brains when we spend a lot of time with other people. They discovered something interesting. The longer we are with somebody, the more our brain waves become the same. I've been married for almost 60 years to my wife. Guess what? We often think the same thing without talking about it, and we'll say something, say, oh, I was just going to say that. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad for her, but we do think about. That's why it's so important that we spend time with Jesus Christ, so that our brain waves match his. And when I match his brainwaves, we'll become a transformed and powerful people, ready for what God wants to do in our world and community. What is our response today? I believe you need to commit to spending more time with Jesus so that we know what is important to him, because what is important to him ought to be important to us. I would suggest to start personally by adding 5 or 10 minutes to your time alone with Jesus. Just add 5 or 10 minutes, and you'll see a difference. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to respond to the person of Jesus Christ in every way. as Pastor John said, not just hearers of his word, but doers of his word. It's time. Rise up, church. Rise up and respond. God is opening doors. There are opportunities for us. There are ways we can reach out to our world. May God help us be the followers that Jesus wants us to be. Let's pray. Lord, if we've not ever come to you before, we just pray that you'd help us. We want to come. I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not answered that invitation, that they may. That they may right now say, I come, Lord Jesus, I come. I want to be a follower of you. I'm tired of the way I've been headed. I'm tired of the decisions I've made. I'm tired of being tired. And so I come. I need your rest. I need your forgiveness. I need you just to hug me, Lord. Just hug me. Tell me you care about me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And as a church, Lord, I just pray for the Holy Spirit to enable us to be what this world needs. Even in our weakness, even in our stumbling around, Lord, please help us to be the body of Christ you want us to be. Empower us. Strengthen us. Lord, we need you so bad. We are desperate for you, Lord. We are desperate for you. Please come and help us. There are people that need you so much. There's probably someone today is at the end of their rope. One more thing and they're going to end their own life. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for infusing us with love and your spirit. Thank you, Lord. May we be exactly what someone needs even today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
It says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. As Pastor Roy was praying, if maybe that's you, you want to make a decision and respond to Jesus saying, come. Maybe you haven't felt adequate. Maybe you've continued to do things you shouldn't be doing. Jesus is saying, come today. In a few moments, we're going to have our prayer team here. If that's you today, you can come and talk with one of them, and we've got a little book we want to give to you to help you in your first steps. But what I thought might be good, as Pastor Roy quoted me, quoting the Bible, let's not just hear what he says, let's actually put it into practice. What if we just took 5 minutes and we prayed? And you might think, well, how do you pray for 5 minutes? What are we going to pray about? How do we do this? Am I going to sit here and what are we going to do? Well, first of all, I'm going to start a timer and then we're going to pray through the scripture that Pastor Roy shared with us today. Just give you a little bit of a taste on how you can extend your prayer time. The easiest thing you can do is just pray the Bible. So would you pray with me this morning? And I'll give you an idea or a topic and you can just kind of take it your own way. Just talk to God. One of the first things Pastor Roy talked about is not just coming to him, but following him. Could we all begin to pray that we would be a better follower? Does that sound okay? So Heavenly Father, here we are. We don't want to just come to you once and come to you again and come to you again, just bouncing back and forth, doing things wrong and asking for forgiveness. Would you help us to become a different person, to become someone who follows? Help us to do that, Lord. and just talk to him about those areas of your life that need to grow. Are you here today and there's something that you need to surrender so that you can follow him? Just say to the Lord, I surrender that today. Are you here today? And like when Jesus said that, that was a commitment to changing your profession and going after God with all of your life. I want you to pray that. God, is that me? Do you want me to follow after you wholeheartedly that way? Pastor Roy talked to us about praying for one another and maybe praying for the one that you're not praying for is who you should pray for. So how can we love our enemies through prayer? So if there's somebody you have a problem with at work or family, or if it's government stuff, whatever it is, can we just begin to pray that God would move? As a person comes to your mind, just pray for God's good, that they could hear his voice. So Lord, here we are. Bring to our attention the people we need to be praying for who maybe we view as an enemy. Just let them bring a name or a face to your attention. Now let's begin to pray for that person or those people. Heavenly Father, we pray first and foremost that they would have a clear opportunity to respond to the good news about Jesus. Whether it's us or somebody else coming into their life, we pray that they could have an honest opportunity to respond to you. Lord, we also pray for their good. We pray that they would have good health. We pray that they would have good relationships. We pray that you would provide for their needs. And Lord, where their areas are maybe out of alignment with you, Lord, I pray that you would help them to come in better alignment with you. Can we pray about making disciples? We've got a process here at our church if you want to get in on that, but let's just pray, first of all, that we would be open to discipling somebody. So Heavenly Father, we just pray right now that if there's somebody you want me to help grow, that you'd put their face in my mind or you'd give me opportunity in a conversation to talk to them, that I would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you want me to help them to grow. And Lord, I pray that you would help me use the resources that are available to help them grow. Lord, I pray that you would open up my time and my schedule to devote to somebody to help them become the person that you want them to be. Pastor Roy prayed about the four different churches that are meeting here. So let's just pray for each one. So Heavenly Father, we pray for our Hispanic congregation. We pray over Pastor Lucas and Loles that you would give them wisdom and let your anointing rest on them. Lord, I pray you protect their marriage, their children, the two girls. I pray you protect their health. I pray for the rest of the leaders in the congregation that you would help them to take a step in influence more towards you and with the church. God, we pray for more and more people who are in the valley who are Spanish-speaking that we could have an impact in reaching their life for your name. Lord, we pray for the Hmong Sanctuary Church. I pray for Pastor Norvang that you would bless him and you would strengthen him. Help him in his work to have the strength and stamina as he's working outside of ministry just to support himself. Lord, we also pray you provide for him. Lord, that maybe the church might grow strong enough to be able to support him so he can quit working and devote himself fully to that. Lord, we pray for the elders of the Hmong Sanctuary Church, that you'd give them wisdom as they're making decisions. Lord, we pray again for more opportunities for the Hmong community and empower and anoint the church to go out and share the good news in that community. Lord, we pray for Pastor John and Pastor Sofani as they are leading the church that just came and wants to meet with us and meet in our building. We pray for the refugees from the Democratic Republic of Congo as their refugee camps in Rwanda, Uganda, Burundi, and refugees here in the United States. Lord, I can't imagine that my home nation is in such battle and war that I have to go across the ocean to escape violence. So Lord, we pray over each and every person. Lord, we pray that the violence would stop in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that you would make peace in Congo. We pray for all the refugees in all the camps that have been displaced outside of their own country and just trying to survive. Lord, we pray as well for the church here that we could be a good support and give opportunity to help them to grow, to be who you have them to be, to reach other refugees that are coming here. And we pray for the pastors and the 30 people that represent that congregation as well, that you would help and move work through them. Lord, I pray that we would be one. Help us to be one in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's anything between us with one another, help us to forgive. Help us to, as what it says in the Bible, love keeps no record of wrong. Help us not to keep a record of wrong with other people. And help us to become one so that the world can see you through our relationships with each other. And Lord, we pray across the valley how there's tens of thousands of people that are not living for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would put a new heart in us for the lost, a heart for our neighbors and the people we work with and the people we encounter in our daily life. Lord, we pray for Kimberly, we pray for Appleton, Menasha, Nina, Kakana, Little Chute, Grand Chute, everywhere, God, all across the valley here. We pray from Freedom over to Darboy. God, we pray from Wrightstown all the way over to Greenville. We pray all the way down to Oshkosh and Green Bay. Lord, that your church would be mobilized, not just this church, but your church across this area, that each and every one of us would have a new heart, that we would have that heart, Jesus, that you have for when you walked into Jerusalem and you wept over that city because they don't know you. Lord, give us that heart to see what the dire condition people are in, the lies that people are believing, the hopelessness that they have or the confusion that they have. And Lord, send us with the message of Jesus to be the remedy for that situation. God, I pray you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys are not average. We prayed for 7 minutes and 48 seconds. But you can just take the notes in the scripture that we had today and just pray those out. Continue. You could pray that kind of prayer all week long that Pastor Roy laid out for us, that we can continue to move forward in what God has for us. Like I said at the beginning, God had something specific to talk to you about today, and I'd encourage you to take a step right now. What is something you could actually do based on what God brought to your attention? It could be the action step that was brought out in the sermon, or it could be something different. Just take a step. The Bible says when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to participate in person during one of our Sunday worship services. In the meantime, to keep up with everything our church is doing, go to foxvalley.church or download our app and search Fox Valley Church wherever you get your apps. God bless you.